It's 7:07, 45 degrees. Let's turn our focus on all things Afghanistan and speak with Imran Anwar. He's a noted journalist and entrepreneur from Pakistan. Good morning, Imran, and welcome back to the morning show.
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Imran. It's great to have you again. Now, let's look at this situation. Right now, they have convened a meeting to discuss Afghanistan. They have not settled the issue on the ground, but they're trying to do the political thing. Does that make any sense to you?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it's very important for us to remember that without a political solution, no ground solution is going to last forever. So the political process actually has been running slow, and we're pretty much far behind schedule in that still.
The majority comprised of the Taliban. Now you have forces that are still in the southern part of Afghanistan fighting. How representative is this conference?
The issue is that when you think about the Taliban, people confuse the Pashtun tribe with the Taliban, who are a political movement within that. So think of having a new government in Germany at the end of World War II. Mm. It was comprised of Germans, it had to, but it didn't mean that it was comprised of Nazis, mm-hmm. even though Nazis were Germans. So the issue is that you will have to have a government that has Pashtun representation, which is about 40% of the country. Now, you might want to keep out leaders of the Taliban from that, or people who were fundamentalist Talibans, or very strongly violent people. But in the meantime, you cannot keep the Pashtun tribe out simply because the Taliban happened to come from that tribe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Imran, you know, the Condoleezza Rice, she has said that the new Afghanistan government must be comprised somewhat of women. And then also Laura Bush, the First Lady, she talked about including women and giving women their rights there. What is your perspective on that? Do you find that this, do you believe that a linkage to women's rights in terms of a military action will prove profitable or actually result in women's rights, or basically is the United States being hypocrites?
There are three points to make on that, and I'm glad you brought the issue up. Number one, in terms of what Ms. Rice said, I do not think the United States is in a position to dictate elections of women to National Assembly or whatever to any country. We have never even had a vice president ourselves, so who are we to tell other people what to do with women in power, for example?
Exactly.
Number one. Number two, that country is very fiercely old-fashioned, so again, it might not work. Number two, on the issue of what Mrs. Bush said in her speech the other day, she said, the Taliban are evil people because they do not let women wear nail polish. So I didn't know the whole war was about nail polish, because in Saudi Arabia, the women have no rights either, but we don't seem to be bombing Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
So I guess the war was about nail polish.
And actually, Catholic nuns can't wear nail polish here either.
Exactly.
Okay.
So lastly, the issue is that women in that culture, I mean, the issue would be, let's get them educated first, etc. And I assure you that, there's no love anybody has there for the Taliban. But in the meantime, the women's lot was not very good even before the Taliban came into power. They just made things worse. So the Northern Alliance, the so-called Northern Alliance, mm-hmm. and our so-called new friends in this war, mm-hmm. are not going to change their, 5,000-year-old history and cultural values, etc. I definitely think something needs to be done for the women of that country. But can we force a solution down on them? That will probably not work. But this is the time to hold the feet to the fire of the Northern Alliance and say, what are you going to do about women's rights?
1600 WWRL, we're talking to Imran Anwar, who is a noted journalist and entrepreneur from Pakistan. Imran, let's talk about winners and losers. Normally, you look at that when you come out of a military undertaking of this kind. Pakistan, would you say Pakistan has brought the population around to understanding Musharraf's alliance with the West, or do you think he's looking at long-term problems still?
That's a great question, actually. Pakistan so far is sort of in a neutral situation. It's come out a winner in the fact that some of the economic sanctions were lifted, but it has come out a loser in that even though President Bush promised them that the Kabul would not fall to the ethnic minority, that's exactly what the Northern Alliance did. They simply walked right in, mm-hmm. and they've started killing some of the Taliban, which is not a problem in a war, but the Taliban being mostly Pashtun, it will eventually be perceived as an attack on the majority by the minority, and that is going to cause problems, especially if a political issue is not solved before then.
1600 WWRL, it's 7:11, 45 degrees. We're speaking with Imran Anwar. He's a noted journalist and entrepreneur from Pakistan. Imran, what will be the result if the United States invades Iraq?
I think there will be serious repercussions. I think it's something that needs to be done. I have no respect or love, and neither do the Iraqi people, for Saddam Hussein. But right now, making speeches about him simply makes him more of a hero to any nation that is anti-American, even people who might have detested Saddam Hussein. The fact that America is throwing around its weight will be used as an excuse to think that, well, you know, whatever Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein's people are doing is right to bring, you know, superpower to its knees.
A lot of people spoke about it in conclusion, and well, a lot of people spoke about it, but it's not being talked about too much anymore. Do you, from your understanding of the region, are you getting the feeling that and Muslims are feeling that if they went with the expansion, as Sabrina just articulated, that Muslims would feel that Islam is under attack?
I think there's the problem is that right now that is very much the feeling. There is racial profiling going on right under our noses as we speak. So what's stopping this kind of racial profiling of Arabs and Muslims that's happening in our country right now from extending to blacks, for example? Someday if somebody gets on the Long Island Railroad and shoots 15 white people and the shooter is black, what are we going to do, start interviewing black people based upon, you know, if they've ever carried a gun, if they've ever held grudges against a white person, etc.? I mean, that's one of the problems we face.
I really don't mean to disappoint you too much, but it has happened.
I understand, but nobody goes around asking people, like, do you like white people or not? But they are actually asking these Muslim people, you know, what are your political sympathies? That, I thought, was what this country was not to do. As it has done in the past.
713, 45 degrees. We've been joined by Imran Anwar, noted journalist and entrepreneur from Pakistan. Thank you so much once again, Imran, for joining us on The Morning Show.
The pleasure is always mine. Thank you.
Have yourself a fabulous day, sir.